Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, only by His grace I'll overcome. And oh, I can stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone do I glory, grace I am redeemed. For only His tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains but losses for the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength and my source of hope is Christ alone.
Amen. I believe we're ready for the word. Amen. Amen. Glory. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. You're happy to be in the house of God?
Yep.
Amen. It's good to be here, even on this rainy day. Good to see God's people.
Amen.
Amen. God has granted us another day, another Wednesday, and another time to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And just appreciate that special. I don't say that because they're my daughters, but I really enjoyed that myself. So the practice at home didn't sound as that good. they really did a good job. So thank God for that. Amen. And we just appreciate Brother Della. Trust you're doing well.
Amen.
Amen. We're just believing Him, continuing to pray. Amen.
Amen.
God's in control.
Right.
Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed Sunday services?
Amen. That was good.
Amen. That was really wonderful. And God
Amen.
Bless. Oh yeah. We got some good stuff out of that. It's just unfortunate that he had to go so quick. But I know he was pressed. The time was limited. So I could have just been there all afternoon.
Amen.
Just listening to that. That was wonderful.
Amen.
So we just thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Zach, glad you're back.
Mm-hmm.
We missed you.
Mm-hmm.
Hope everything went well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. We'll just leave it at that. Amen. Well, let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read the word. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word. Father, for just a little while, Lord, that we take some time, Lord, to Father God, give you time, Lord. Give you of ourselves. Lord Jesus, you give us so much, Father God. And there's, Heavenly Father, not enough, Lord God, even Father God, what little we could do, Father, wouldn't even express, Lord God, what you deserve from us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we just ask that you would just forgive us for our sins, that you would cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness, anything that would hinder the service, Lord. It would hinder us, Lord, from receiving from you, Father. Take it away, Lord. Put it up. We place it under the blood, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would just intervene, continue to intervene with every request, Father God, that was mentioned here. Every sick person, every person that has a financial need, Lord. We pray there for Sister Cindy, Father. We ask that you would just strengthen her. Sister Mary there in Japan, Lord God. We pray that you'd be with her, Lord. We ask that you would just continue to bless those around, Father, in the world, Lord. They're still struggling and have problems right now. They're sick. We continue to pray for Sister Cynthia, Sister Chichi there in the Philippines, and Brother Roel, Lord. We ask that you would just continue to strengthen them, Lord God, and touching their bodies, Heavenly Father. We just know, Heavenly Father, that you've made a way already for us. And we just thank you for that, and we put them into your hands. Bless us at this time now. And we've done everything what we can, Father God, to study, to read your word, to meditate on you, to pray. Now, Lord God, you take care of the rest, Lord. And we just ask that you'd open our ears of our understanding to receive, Lord God, this portion of your word. We ask these things now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read from James chapter 1, James chapter 1. And I want to talk tonight just a little topic, a little bit different. Amen. From all the teaching we received and all the deepness that we received on Sunday, a little bit of something that kind of loosened us up a little bit, and hopefully it'll help us. Amen. Amen. But I want to talk tonight about under pressure. Under pressure, and I'm not talking about the song either. There was a song in the 80s called Under Pressure, and that's not what. Don't look at me that way. But we want to talk about how many ever felt being under pressure? How many felt pressure today?
Yeah. Amen.
Each and every one of us, no matter what age we are, or
Amen.
How old we are, or how young we are, we have felt or are feeling some form of pressure. Amen. And it's part of life. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just how you handle it and how you respond to it is what we need to look at. So pressure is good. We all need to have pressure, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But let's just read here in James chapter 1, and I don't want to keep you standing too long. It says here in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally." Liberally, in other words, that he just freely. Amen. "And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, or is unstable, is like a wave of the sea that is driven with the wind and tossed." Amen. It just goes every way. "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, if he's asking wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Don't you hate that? You know, sometimes you ask a person and like, "Hey, what you want to do?" "Well, I don't know what you want to do." "I don't know what you want to do." "Well, let's go here." "That's fine." "Maybe we should go here." "Well, you just said that's fine." "No, you know. And you're like, "Oh my goodness." A double-minded man. You hate that, right?
Amen.
And God hates it too.
Amen.
See, if you hate it in the flesh, how much more God? A man that's not stable. A person that is not stable in the Word. That is not stable in what you have believed. And you continue to go back to your dead works, thinking that that's what's going to save you. Knowing that, and you go back to the sins that you did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. "Lord, I'm sorry." Amen. God doesn't like that. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. If there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The question is, and the problem is that maybe you have not connected to Christ. You're not in Christ Jesus. And that's why you keep wavering back and forth. Amen. Praise God. So a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Especially if he doesn't have God. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." I like that James says that it's not that you're not going to go through temptation. James doesn't say that. James knows that the believer and the Christian is going to go through temptation. "But blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this afternoon. Amen. So, under pressure this afternoon, and just looking at that clock puts me under pressure.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I mean, you know, time is a pressure element,
yes,
and we know that even in the beginning there was no time.
Nope.
It wasn't until sin came into picture that time came into picture,
right,
which means pressures came into picture.
Amen.
Why? We are growing up in life. We have pressure as we're growing up. And we got stages that we're growing up, you know, a 5-year-old, maybe all they're worrying about is what they're going to eat tomorrow, you know, or what they're going to have for dinner tonight, or if they're going to go to cookout and have a milkshake after service tonight or not. You know, that's the pressure that they're having.
Yeah.
But then you get a 15-year-old, you know, the pressure that they have now, well, I just started 9th grade, high school. Or 10th grade,
yep,
and the pressures of, my goodness, this is a brand new school.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have any friends. All the friends I had in middle school, they're not going to be there at that new school. And there's that pressure that,
yep,
you have, you know, as a 15-year-old. A 25-year-old doesn't have the pressures that a 15-year-old have.
Amen.
Because their pressures have been elevated,
right,
now.
Amen.
I mean, now they're thinking about, what am I going to do with my life now? I've gone maybe through a few years of college now, and I'm maybe thinking about getting married, or I'm just a newlywed now.
Right.
And now you got the pressures of trying to be a husband, or
right,
trying to,
right,
and some have even been fathers at that young age. You know, I got married when I was 25 years old. We didn't have Bella until I was 26, 27, I think. Yeah, 26, something like that. But all that pressure came on me almost all at the same time.
Right,
sure. Bella came on the scene about, 10 months after we got married? a year or more.
Yeah.
But boom, it was that pressure.
Amen.
You know, marriage, and then here comes the children,
yep,
you see? And there's that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that's anything wrong, Bella. I'm just saying. Don't take that in the wrong way. It was just, bam, there it is. You see, it wasn't the same pressures that I had when I was 15 years old.
Right.
When I was at Papa John's just spinning pizza,
yeah,
you know, oh
Amen.
Man, everything was hunky-dory, you know, I mean, oh man, it was fun. Now I got different pressures.
That's right.
And now the pressures that I had at 25 years old is not the pressures that I have now at 41.
Right.
Now I have other pressures now.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you culminate the pressures that you get from life, you know, in the world systems now, and the way, even in this last year, we've all gone through all kinds,
Amen,
of pressures.
Right.
I don't think we considered and we realized the type of pressures that we were going,
right,
to be,
right,
in 2021.
Amen.
Even at 2020,
mm-hmm,
now we see all kinds of pressures put on us,
mm-hmm, right,
that we never realized that we would have.
Amen.
But
right,
it's pressures. It's pressures.
Right.
You know, the Bible, the word pressure, it means this. It means, if the brothers can put this definition up, I think I gave it to them, yes. It's a continuous physical force exerted on or against an object by something in contact with it.
Right. Amen.
Definition number two, it says the use of persuasion, influence, or intimidation,
right, yeah,
to make someone do something. And you know, I was the other day I was at racetrack on Monday, and I was going to go to central office at a board meeting, and I was going to buy some food. I had some coffee that I had gotten, and I was at the line, you know, waiting. You know, I had this stuff because that was my lunch actually. It was around 2 or 3 p.m. And I'm just looking around, and you know how you're looking around and everything is just kind of, there are all kinds of signs grabbing your attention, you know, get this. And I'm sitting there in the sign, you know, I think I have enough. And I look over at the Krispy Kreme little booth there. And it had a thing that said on there, it says, you deserve one. Actually, you deserve two. Yeah, right, two. I was actually getting ready to just, hey, can you hold this for just a moment? Let me grab two. Because that's how persuasive and how pressured, you know, that advertising is, you know? I mean, you know, who's not thinking that they deserve, hey, I just had a rough day. I deserve two, maybe three. who doesn't think that, you know? And isn't that how Satan does to us as Christians, you know? You deserve that. Sure, just let off some steam. You know, you've had, it's been rough. You know, it's been rough, and you know, you deserve that time right there, and you're in front of the computer, and God, and He's tempting you to do who knows what.
Right, amen.
You deserve that time, and then you find yourself in guilt, condemnation. Why in the world? It's a pressure. It's a temptation of the pressure. You see? Three, an attempt to persuade or coerce someone into doing something. Amen. That's a pressure. Amen. And they're definitely seeing that a lot today. Amen. So pressure is as I said earlier, pressure is a necessary thing. It's not just, it's a survival mechanism, but also to live, a Christian life. Amen. You need certain amounts of pressure in your life. Amen. For example, if we're a piano, when it's being tuned, it's got to have certain pressure put on the strings. And if you don't give it that certain pressure, I mean, because of the temperature in here, the hot and the cold, it makes the strings, amen, condense and you know, get wide and condense and things like that. And so you need that pressure. That piano tuner needs that pressure, put that pressure under to make that piano sound good again.
Amen.
Same thing with a guitar, and you can say the same thing with a violin. There's got to be a certain pressures put on these instruments in order to make them sound good. See, if you just leave the guitar just like that, you see, and never do anything to it, it'll be out of tune. It will never sound good. You see? You have to apply certain pressures right here with these pegs.
Right?
Right? Yep. And when you apply the certain pressures and the one that's that plays the instrument, he's making sure he's looking. Oh, okay, I applied certain pressure. I like the way that sounds now.
Right.
Yes,
sure.
That sounds just right. You see?
Right.
But he had to apply certain pressures.
Right.
You see?
Sure.
And don't think that you can live your life, amen, your Christian life with no pressures at all. Because whoever told you that when you become a Christian and you're never going to have a problem in your life sold you a bill of goods and is probably trying to put something on you.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's not how it is.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me,
amen,
you have no part in me.
Amen.
You got to take up the cross. And we're talking about his cross, amen, was a cross made of wood. It was heavy. Right? If we're looking at the physical cross, right? He was talking spiritually, but if we're looking at his physical cross, it was a heavy cross. But you see, when you're carrying his cross, it actually becomes light. Because he says, you take my burden is light. Amen. So it's not a push and pull thing now to serve God. It's, you want to take up the cross. You want to do it. Lord, it doesn't matter what needs to happen. I want to take up the cross. But because you put the want to in me. And when you don't want to, it becomes a burden. I've got to go to church. I've got to sing songs. I've got to. And when you have to, then it becomes a burden. But when God puts that want in you, amen, things become lighter. You see? Things become lighter. Doesn't mean it's easier, but it just becomes lighter. Amen? Praise God. We see also a woman when she's having a baby, you know, she's under pressure. Those of you mothers here who've had children, you understand that when you're carrying a child, when you're carrying life, there comes a point after the 8 and 9 months, amen, that baby starts putting that pressure.
Amen.
I'm getting ready to come out.
Yeah, right.
Ready or not.
Right.
Here I come.
Yeah.
It's time.
Right.
Here I come. And you start feeling that pressure. And even though she's crying, she's weeping, and she might be screaming and telling them, get me drugs, do something. That baby's coming out.
That's right. Amen.
That baby's coming out. It's that pressure. But then once all that dissipates, once the baby comes, you're not even thinking about the pressure anymore. You're thinking about that life on you. Amen. That baby now, you know how you have her on her chest now. You're not even thinking the pressure that you have. You see? Amen. When When you've gone through a trial in your life and it was hard, it was difficult, amen. But when you get to the other side of it, amen, you don't even think about the details of the things that you went through. Amen. You're just rejoicing and you're praising God for the outcome. Amen. Praise God. And then maybe you can sit back and relax. After you're praising God, you can sit back and relax. Lord, you brought me through that.
Right. Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
What an awesome God we serve.
Yeah.
And He said, yes, I brought you through that. Yeah. And it actually it makes you want to praise Him even more.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Through many toils and dangers, He's brought us through. Amen. Praise God.
True.
Sometimes, you know, in life, we have pressures, amen, that we bottle up inside, amen. We have this pressure, and then we couple it with the pressure of not showing it.
That's right. Amen.
That actually creates even more pressure.
That's right. That's right, brother. Amen.
You see? And then you're putting a false image before people. Amen. You know you got this pressure inside of you, but you don't want to show it because you don't want to make maybe your mom and dad look bad or the church look bad. You see, you don't want to show it, but in any moment, amen, somebody says the wrong thing to you, it comes out. Somebody does something to you that you're not, it comes out. Because why? It's bottled up pressures from maybe things that have happened in your life. That have never got taken care of or never got resolved, bottled up pressures, amen, and then couple it with the pressure of, I can't show it. That's a lot of pressure. Amen. Since 2007, I believe, Brother Donnie, you might know this, they started making the vehicles where they have the TPM, the tire pressure, monitor. And it's just a little computer thing where it monitors the pressure of the tires as you're riding. And, it'll tell you if it's underflated, if the tires are underflated, or if they're overinflated. Now, do you know that, because sometimes we think that a tire will bust or will blow up if you put too much pressure in it, right? And that is true, right? But do you also know that if you have a tire that's under pressure, that it will also cause a blow up. And it actually, the blow up happens from the inside out. Right? Brother Donnie's agreeing with me. It happens from the inside out. Right. And then all the grinding of the tire, and then if you look inside the tire, I was actually watching a little video about it, and when you look inside the tire, it's just a bunch of the tire, you know, just grinded up inside. And it causes a blow up. So, too much pressure causes a blow up. Under pressure causes a blow up as well. You've got to have the right level in your life. See, God, that's what I'm saying. Jesus did not say you become a Christian and everything is going to be hunky dory. You've got to have the right level of pressure in your life. So it's healthy to have pressures. It's healthy to have pressure. Amen. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. So, but it's good. It's good that when we have that pressure, amen, in our lives, that bottled up pressure, amen, that we find some way to release that.
Amen.
A healthy way to release that. Amen. Not just any old way. A healthy way. Amen. Look what Brother Branham says here in this message, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. He says, I said, sure, if they won't make, he was talking to somebody about the Pentecostal church because they were, you know, they were saying, I don't understand why those Pentecostals, they're just jumping and shouting and screaming and all that stuff, you know. And Brother Branham says here, sure, if they won't make the wheel roll right, they've got to blow it out the whistle somewhere. They've got a lot of steam. I said, and that's the truth. If this Pentecostal church would take a lot of its praises and put it to work, it would do something for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Right, God give you the Holy Ghost. You like to shout by it and praise by it, but just put that into grifts and wonders and go out on the street and get sinners to come in and things like that. Your church will grow and everything will go along all right. Don't blow it out the whistle. Put it into action and make the wheel roll, the gospel train. Amen. Put it into action. You know, we got to let it out. Amen. But put it into something good.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Put it into action. Something that will benefit you, will benefit others, and will glorify God. Amen. Praise God. Just because you're stressed or just because you feel or you're happy about something, about God and church, amen. And oftentimes we want to do something, amen, that maybe it might be inappropriate, amen. But find an avenue to let the pressure out, you see? Find an avenue to let the pressure out, because we've all got to have the pressure out.
Amen.
We're just walking pressure cookers. We got, you know, and I'll mention it here in just a moment, but as a pressure cooker, you know, you got to have that little venue, amen, where the pressure's coming out constantly.
Yep, right.
Because if not, that thing will blow up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And some people, they don't work well under pressure.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Some people do their best work under pressure.
That's right. Amen.
I would think that's me, but I'm like Brother Richard Hyatt said the other day. You know, my sermons come 2 hours before the service.
Yeah.
I just cannot prepare 3 weeks in advance for a sermon.
Okay.
It's just not me, because he put it right. He said, because you're going to go in there and start editing in it and start changing in it, and it's never right. It's never going to be perfect.
Right.
Amen. Now, I've had moments where you have to be on the spot and you have to be ready in season and out of season, amen, to just preach something. I've had those moments in the mission field, at other times, amen. That pressure falls on you, amen. Amen. And some of us, you know, some of you who went through high school and maybe you do your best work when the day before you had to turn in your exam, you know, or the project or whatever it was. And that's how I was, but it never came out good. I just always left things for the last minute, and sometimes I got a good grade out of it, you know. But that's just me. It's just, but some of us, we just work different ways.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us, we've got to have it 3 weeks in advance.
Right.
We've got to have it ahead of time.
Amen.
Amen. So in the scripture that we were talking about here in James here was speaking about how oftentimes we you know, our temptations are a pressure on us. Amen.
Right.
And it's under these pressures of life that we recognize how strong we are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
It's in being in these pressures is we recognize, am I closer to God or am I further away from God?
Right.
You see, because it's the way you respond to
right.
them. It's the way you react to them. Amen. If you're not fellowshipping, amen, at church, let's just put it this, if you're not fellowshipping at church, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not listening to the message, if you're not listening to the right things, amen, somebody says something to you at church, amen, and you'll immediately take it as something antagonistic, and you snap. Why? Because your concentration and your fellowship has been with other things of this world, amen, instead of the Word of God. You'll immediately take it that way.
Amen.
Because you have been fellowshipping and you have been feeding on the wrong things.
Right.
Take a person or a brother, amen, who has been feeding on the Word of God, who's been in contact with God in prayer and who has been in fellowship, amen, and that prayer closet, amen, it's always filled, amen, and when they come to church, amen, you can say whatever you want to them, amen,
yeah.
And they'll take it a different way.
Right.
A more calm way.
Yeah.
They should at least.
That's right. Amen.
Because why? The Holy Spirit is working.
Amen. Right.
But when the Holy Spirit is up there, amen, just like Brother Branham said, amen, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean that He's left you.
Nope.
But I mean, you can grieve Him.
Sure.
And then you're wondering, why is my life going this way? Why is it that I don't feel the joy that I felt even last week?
Right.
It's because your priorities of things changed.
Yeah.
Now when you were fellowshipping with the Word and in prayer, amen, and in your own time with God, now something else has taken over.
Right.
Now you're worshiping something else.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So that will cause us to react under pressures
right.
in different ways.
Yes,
amen. Proverbs 24:10 tells us, if thou faint in the day of adversity, watch what it says. It says, thy strength is small. In other words, if you fall, the NIV version says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's simple.
Right. Amen.
Sure. But we do it all the time. Mm-hmm. We do it all the time.
Yep.
Why? Because we're under the wrong influence many times.
Right,
you know, when you're weightlifting, you've got to have that pressure, amen, upon your muscles, amen, constantly, amen. And you know, amen, how strong you are, because look what the Bible says there, your strength is too small if you fail under pressure, right? And then when you feel like, you started maybe, bench pressing, 100 pounds or whatever, and then you bench press, oh, okay, I can do that. Now I want to upgrade to 200. And then you, oh no, I can't do this. You recognize where you're weak.
Right?
You recognize where you need to work on.
Right.
You went too much. Maybe you should just go to 110.
Yeah.
Right? If you could do 100, you see?
Right.
You take it little by little, amen? And it's in the trials of life, in us living.
Amen.
In us living day to day. That's why we cannot be just shut in somewhere and not experience the hardships of life or the negative aspects of life, because when that comes to you head on, amen, you're just going to burst and you don't know how you're going to handle it.
Amen.
You've got to have the negative aspects of life. Otherwise, you're not living life.
Amen.
You've got to have that. That way you can bench press the 200 pounds when you get to it. Hey, if you don't experience 110, 120, 130, 150, you see, how are you going to bench press the 200?
Yep. Right.
Amen.
Right.
You see?
Amen.
So you've got to have the negative. Us as parents, amen, we think sometimes, no, I can't have my kid do that or see that or, no, because, and then that's going to come to them anyways.
Right.
So let them just experience it.
Uh-huh.
Amen. So, because we're doing them a disservice if we do that, you see? We're doing them a disservice. If we think that we can just over-shelter them so much, you see? We're doing them a disservice. Let's look at diamonds here for just a moment. If the brothers can bring this picture. Picture number one. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
All right. So here is a diamond. Isn't that so beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
So pretty. I know all the girls are saying, yeah, that's beautiful. Look at that.
I want that big, yeah.
Those, an engagement ring like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not you guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's for girls. But it's beautiful. But you think, my, I'd love to have a diamond ring like that. You girls, oh, that'd be pretty. It'd be nice if I'm gonna get married and my husband to be gives me a diamond ring like this. Oh my, that's beautiful. And then if you go to the next picture, you realize that this is where it came out of. Now, do you want the diamond ring now? The diamond ring came out of this.
Yep. That's right.
Out of this dark mess, this nastiness.
Yep.
This is coal. This is where diamonds are found. And even then, diamonds, go back to the previous picture, brother. Diamonds, when they come out of coal, don't even look like this. Because that took a person that worked with diamonds starting to cut the diamonds a certain way to make it look this way. But definitely when they take the diamond out of the coal, you know, it definitely looks nicer than the coal for sure. But when the diamond, when the jeweler gets a hold of it, oh my. He makes it even more beautiful.
Amen.
Amen. When the jeweler of the God,
amen.
When our God, the jeweler, amen, he gets a hold of your life. Amen.
Amen.
It might hurt. It might sting. Amen. But hey, you come out tried as gold. Amen.
Right, amen.
You come out nice looking good.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Because sometimes we come out rough. Amen. Show the next picture right there. We come out rough. Amen. From the world.
Amen.
You see? We come out rough. I mean, you don't expect somebody to immediately, I mean, they just do everything right when they start serving God. No, some of us come out a little rough. Amen. Some of us come out a little, we still got some habits that we need to let go. Amen. But it takes God to do that work. It takes God little by little, amen, to do that work. And when somebody's pressuring you, listen, you got to get rid of that. You can't come to church like that. I mean, there comes a point in time where if you say you're a Christian and you're still doing certain things, amen, all right, yeah, we got to say something. Amen. But God, amen, deals with us little by little, amen. That's why we should have patience with one another. Amen. I can't be your Holy Ghost. I've always said that. You can't be my Holy Ghost, and I can't be my daughter's Holy Ghost. Amen. Right, it takes an experience with God for them, amen, to come out, amen, exactly the way God envisioned them from the beginning. Amen. Praise God. Because God has the best image, better image of my children, amen, than I could ever have. He knows best for them. So does He knows best for your children. Amen. But sometimes we want to impose our image on them. And all we're doing is just putting them in a certain place where they don't even want to come to church anymore. Because we want to impose our image. Amen. It's not about your image. It's about the image of God. It's about the image of the Word. Amen. Well, that's the image that we want them to have. So that's where diamonds come out of. And diamonds, what they are is crystallized carbon or coals that are formed underneath the earth under heavy heat and pressure. See, they're formed underneath the earth, and there has to be a lot of heat and a lot of pressure for them. Otherwise, you're not going to have a diamond.
Amen.
Amen. See? Next picture. And so see, so you get from a piece of coal, amen, you can get something like that. How many knows that God can do a work? How many believe that God has done a work like
amen.
That in your life?
Amen.
He's still cutting me. It ain't till that body change, amen, till I really come out perfect, amen. Praise God. But He's still cutting each and every one of us, amen. But we're diamonds. God already sees the end result. Amen. When He was taking us out of the piece of lump, amen. See, we were in the middle of the lump, amen. We were in the middle of the darkness, amen. But He was already seeing the end result right there. He saw it before the foundation of the world. He saw you, amen, perfect. Without spot, without wrinkle.
Amen.
My bride.
Amen.
Amen. Shining.
Yes.
Amen. Bright.
Amen.
That's how He saw you. That's how He saw you.
Amen.
And when Satan comes around, amen, and he's telling you all these lies that you can't make it, that you're just the worst person in the world, that you're just no good, and look what you did yesterday, and you're going to do it again tomorrow, just go and show him back the picture
amen.
That God saw of you. Amen.
Amen.
Your picture is in the Word where it says, a bride without spot and without
amen.
Wrinkle. That's me.
Amen.
That's my scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm His bride.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen. So let's look for a moment at examples in the Bible of people under pressure. Amen. Moses at the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 14, you can read that. The brothers, you can turn that off. We'll come back to it here in just a moment. We see in the example there when Moses was commissioned, amen, to get the people out of the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they came out oh happy and rejoicing and God delivered us, and then here comes a point where they got to the Red Sea, it was blocking their way, amen, to continue through, and Moses didn't know what to do, so he had pressure. Amen. He had pressure from this side, pressure from this side, pressure in front of him, and pressure behind him because the Egyptians were right behind him. I mean, it was pressure north, south, east, west on him. Goodness gracious. I didn't want to be Moses. Amen. But Moses was chosen specifically for that purpose. Amen. But can you imagine the pressure that Moses fell on? And he got to a point where all that pressure, and he didn't even know what to do. And he was there crying and feeling the pressure. And on top of that, the people, the children who had just seen God, I mean, completely annihilating the Egyptians. I mean, killing their firstborn and flies all over the place and frogs all over their houses. And none of that touched their house. And here they are complaining about a big obstacle in front of them. And Moses was the one receiving the breadth of all that. The majority of all that. I mean, all that pressure that he felt.
Right.
I mean, that's that pressure cooker, I mean, it was getting ready to blow right there.
Right.
But you know, he was like, Lord, what am I supposed to do? This is what you called me to do. Mm. What am I to do?
Right.
And God told him was just stand still.
Yep.
Stand still. Don't try to figure it out.
Right.
Don't try to do it your way or what you learned last year or what you learned 2 years ago or what you think it might be. Just stand still.
Amen. Right. True, brother.
And let God have His way.
Amen.
Stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. And He told him, amen, put out the rod. Amen. And He put out the rod and we know the story. The sea parted and they crossed on dry ground.
Amen.
Amen. Relief the pressure. Amen. When Moses got to the other side, I'm sure. Oh God, thank you. Amen. He probably wanted to get his sister's tambourine and just dance along with her. Amen. Glory. His sister was the one, amen, using the tambourine. He probably got in there with him. You see, I'd be right there with her. Amen. After a pressure event like that, amen. Your homework, young people, isn't that kind of pressure now. Amen. Us parents sometimes, you know, our children may not be doing what we want them to do, but that's not that kind of pressure.
No, right.
Amen. It's pressure, amen. But Moses had some pressure on him.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. We also see, if you can read that in Exodus chapter 14. I encourage you to. And, also in Genesis chapter 39, we see the pressure that was put on Joseph. Amen. By Potiphar's wife. To lay with her. That's a pressure. It was a sexual pressure. Amen. Potiphar's wife liked him. Or at least lusted after him. And he could have done it. And nobody maybe would have done anything. Saw anything or heard anything. Or Potiphar would never maybe found out. But he feared God so much. Amen. He said, I cannot do this. I cannot do this because, for one, amen, I'm serving Potiphar. This, and you're his wife. And most and foremost, I serve a God, amen, who's my true master. Amen. When you put God first, as your true master, amen, no matter what pressures come on you, amen, because sexual pressure is a strong thing. I mean, we see it everywhere nowadays. Sexual pressure is everywhere. Go online, an ad, just showing you an ad, there'll be a sexual pressure right there. Completely change your thought process. And you were just looking for a sermon to listen to.
Yeah.
It's Satan. I mean, we see those pressures everywhere. Sexual pressure. Joseph had them. And there was no internet back then. But he had a physical pressure,
amen,
to do something. But he put God first, amen. He put God first. Put God first in your life. Remember, always put in front of you what he did for you. Joseph didn't even have something like that to look to. He didn't think, oh, Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary and I owe my life to him. Look at all the pressure that he went through at the Garden of Gethsemane. I can't do this. He didn't even have a Bible to look at.
No, he didn't. Amen.
And yet he was able to withstand temptation.
Amen.
How much more you and I, amen, with the grace and the mercy and the word of God and the 1,100 messages that we have, there is no excuse when sexual pressure comes in our heart. I know it's hard. And I know it's very pressing because we're humans. And Joseph was just as much human as we are. But you have something to lean on. You have something to look to. Amen. Run. Go take a cold shower. Do something. That's what my mom told me. Just go take a cold shower. Do something. Get out of that.
That's right.
Because you start sitting there feeding that.
That's it, brother.
You're gonna fall and you're gonna be condemned and then, and then you're not gonna want to come to church. You're not gonna fellowship with people. Why? Because I don't feel worthy.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah, true, brother. Amen.
Don't look at me that way. You guys are just as much Joseph as I was.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's just how it is. But Joseph did it without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
How much more with the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Amen. So there was pressure there, sexual pressure. We also see Queen Esther, amen. She had pressure regarding the destruction of her people. You can read that in Esther 4.
Right.
You know, she had pressure upon her. There was an edict that went out that the Hebrews were going to be destroyed. They were going to, and there was a pressure mounting upon her. Mordecai was telling her, hey Esther, there's something, you've got to intervene for your people. And so there was that pressure on her and she took the right decision.
Yes, she did.
She said, hold on a second. You see, she said, we're just going to fast for 3 days. I believe it was 3 days. And let's let's stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
It's exactly
right.
What she did. What Moses should have done, amen, Esther did right away.
Right. Right.
Amen. And when you stand still, sometimes things come to your life and you don't know what to do, amen, just hold on.
Right.
Wait it out.
Right.
Don't react.
Right.
Let's wait it out.
Right.
Because God has a better way of resolving things than if we just lash out and quickly say things or do things, you see? But oftentimes we do the wrong thing when we do it the spur of the moment. Most of the time our decisions are not the right decisions. But if we just hold on, stand still, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, what in the world is bothering me? 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. What in the world is bothering me? You just repeat that about 5 times and you, oh, okay. I can wait this out. Now you can go home and you can repeat that and you practice that and 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. What in the world is bothering me? You just keep repeating it and it'll help you. Amen. And you know what? Esther's people, amen, it wasn't the exact result that she wanted, but God did something for them. God allowed for the Hebrews, amen, to take weapons and fight back. And you know what? They overcame their enemy. Amen. And then we also know the very famous one, amen, it's Daniel chapter 3. You can read about the three Hebrew children, amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were pressured to worship, amen, Nebuchadnezzar's image. And they said, no, I'd rather worship God.
Amen.
Amen. What a stance that they took. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have the Holy Ghost in their life. All they had was what they learned from their parents, what they took from Israel. Amen. And they said, no, we're going to stand and worship our, who we've been taught to worship, our true living God. Amen. And they, no matter what the king said, they were respectful to the king. They said, oh king, you know, blessed are you king, I believe is what they say, something like that. Live forever. We respect you, but we can't do this. You see? You don't have to get snappy. You don't have to get, you know, do you know what we believe? Do you know that we serve the God of Israel? Do we? I mean, they were quickly gone into that oven. Amen. And not with the right attitude, not with the right heart. But you see, they had a right heart about it. Amen. And we know the end story. Amen. Because they were pressured. Amen. And all that pressure went in them, even in the oven. Even at the doorway of the oven, that pressure was upon them. And I can just imagine, amen. I wonder if they even saw that fourth man as they were walking in the oven.
Right.
The fourth man was already telling them, you just come on.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Okay. Fire all around them. Amen. It doesn't matter what pressures you're going through, saints. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. You could be at the point of death. Amen. But say, Jesus is telling you, come on.
Right.
I got this.
Amen.
I'm here to help you.
Right.
Don't
amen.
Worry. Everything is under control.
Amen.
Because why? You put me first.
Yeah. Right.
Now it's time for me.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Draw nigh unto me. Yeah. And he said, and I will draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
That,
praise God.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Amen. So we need confidence and patience. Amen. I like what Hebrews says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. The enemy can't touch you. Amen. He can't touch you if you've been called to something in your life. Amen. He can't touch that calling in your life, but he can make you try to lose confidence in your calling. And if he can make you lose confidence in your calling, amen, he's got you.
Yep, right.
Oh, nobody likes me. Nobody likes the way I preach. Sometimes as preachers, we go through that.
Sure.
Nobody heard anything that I said.
Right. Amen.
And probably the person that you least expect, amen, got something out of that sermon.
Amen.
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 I've been there. Done that. I've got the t-shirt, the mouse pad, and the hat to go with it.
That's right. Amen.
I've got to have confidence in what God has called me to do.
Amen.
Because I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Him.
Amen.
He's the one that I'm doing it for.
Amen.
Amen. You're secondary. But if I'm thinking, hey, Lord, I'm doing this for you, then everything will go all right.
Amen.
Amen. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Amen. Verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience. Amen. It's important for the believer to have patience. Look, you have need of patience. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Amen. You have need of patience. Otherwise, it wouldn't be listed here. You have need of it. And patience only comes by pressures, temptations, amen, sufferings, and things in your life. Not everything going honky-dory. Not everything being happy and everybody liking you. Because I guarantee you, everybody will not like you. And you should be okay with that. As long as God likes me. As long as God loves me. And I know He does because He died for me. Amen. He said He loved me this much. To spread His arms, amen, on a cross. And die for me. Amen. I know He loves me. And that's all that matters. And whatever anybody thinks or whatever anybody says about me, amen, that's between them and God. Amen. Praise God. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Amen. Praise God. Let me go a little quicker here. Persecution is a form of pressure. Amen. We see there Peter was under a certain pressure when they took Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane, and they took him into Pilate's hall, or into the hall there, and they were getting ready to whip him and all that. Peter, the Bible says that Peter followed to see what was going on. And you can read the details of it there in John chapter 18. And that's where Peter denies Jesus three times. Now, Peter was feeling the pressure. He had already told the Lord. He told God. He said, I will not deny you, even though Jesus had told him, you will deny me. He's denying the word of Jesus. Jesus, the word. Peter seeing all the miracles that took place in his life. Peter seeing Jesus walk on water. Even he himself walked on water. Peter himself. Seeing great things for 3.5 years, Jesus tells him, Peter, you're going to deny me thrice. No, I won't, Lord. You're wrong. Isn't that how we do Jesus sometimes? He says something to us about the word, but we do otherwise because we think we know better. And exactly, Peter came into that point where people started saying, hey, you were with him. You are one of them. Second time, no, I'm not with him. I wasn't with him. I don't know who you are. And then third time, hey, he starts cursing. And what happens? The cock crows. And he fulfills exactly what Jesus told him. But you know what I like about it is there, if you read there in Luke, the Bible says there in Luke that Jesus just turned over and just looked. He saw when Peter denied him three times. If you go back and read in Luke, Jesus says he just turned to him and looked. I could just imagine the look that Jesus gave him. It wasn't a look of sternness and, see, I told you. See, you were wrong. No, it was like, don't worry, I'm making a way for you. Don't worry. Remember, Peter, I prayed for you. Amen. Praise God. I don't think Jesus was giving him a spiteful look. Amen. And that's what caused Peter to run and weep. The Bible says that he wept bitterly. Amen. That caused his repentance. Amen. When you really look into the eyes of Jesus, and when you really look into His Word, and you realize who you are and what you've done, amen, to put Him in that position that He's at, amen, that'll cause you, amen, to get down and repent and seek Him with all of your heart. But the reason why we don't do that and we think we don't need to do that anymore is because we're not looking to Him on the cross anymore.
Amen.
We're not looking to, we're not thinking that it was our sins and it's our daily failures that put Him there.
That's right.
Amen. When we start looking at Him that way, amen, it causes us to have more of a repentant heart.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Brother Branham says here, Peter had that persecution on him there. Amen. That was a form of persecution that was falling upon him. He was afraid of it because he didn't want to be found out that he was walking with Jesus. Amen. So Brother Branham says here in the message, the third Exodus. Are you still with me? Don't fall asleep. The natural man, the Antichrist, is growing now. Through politics, he's already got the White House. In religion, he's got all the people so scrupled up. Sounds like 2021 to me. Till actually they'd fall right for it. And the denominational leaders, practically every church that there is in the nation is already in the confederation of churches. This was in 1963 when he said this. Ramses is growing and they're all uniting together, and that's what they'll have. And what does it do? It makes a power, a beast, just like the first one. Then there's a persecution coming upon all those who won't unite with it. And the boycott. I mean, I believe we're coming to that shortly. It'll be too late then. You've already took the mark. Don't say I'll do it then. You better do it now. Amen. Ramses was growing. And he's talking about Ramses because he's comparing to Ramses, the Pharaoh in Egypt during Moses' time. Amen. And Moses, God had Moses doing something in his life. Amen. While Ramses was growing.
Amen.
But then this is what he's going to say here. But remember, while Ramses was growing into power in Egypt, God had Moses in the wilderness. He was growing too. Ramses had a political system. God had a spiritual system under a prophet ready to come down to speak to the people. Amen. So there's that persecution. Amen. Saints, I believe that right now we're still facing good times.
Sure.
I mean, it's still good.
Yep.
But pressures are coming.
Amen.
There are pressures coming little by little right now.
Right.
Politically.
Yep.
Amen. And are you going to cave in? Or are you going to stay with the word?
Right, Brother Matt.
Because it'll come down. I mean, they're making fun of Christians. I was watching a thing just last weekend. They were having some sort of prayer vigil in Colorado, I think it was. Something like that. And there goes the Antifa group just throwing stuff at them and saying stuff like, is this Jesus of you going to save you now? And just being all.
Wow.
People can't even have public prayer anymore now.
Right. Nope.
Oh, but that's just in Colorado. Well, you watch and it'll happen here too.
Amen. Right. Amen.
That's just them. That's happening here. Well, you watch. It'll happen. And when it does, amen, let's look back at what Brother Branham said about it.
Amen.
And we'll realize it. Don't wait till then to get right with God.
Amen.
Don't wait till the ark door is closed
nope.
to get right with God.
Right, amen.
Get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Prepare to enter the ark. Amen. Before the ark door closes.
Amen.
Because by then it'll be too late.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham talks about a squeeze for the bride. Amen.
Amen.
It's a squeeze. It's a pressure
yep.
that's coming upon us. And that's in order to manifest that third pull in its fullness. See, Brother Branham said this in the message, Look Away to Jesus. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that third, of that. And I put in parentheses third pull because that's what he was talking about. Because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's in existence. And I'm warned of this that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened so it could identify its presence among you. See, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And he's talking about the council of churches.
Yep.
And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, this is the only time that Brother Branham mentions the phrase, the squeeze.
Right, right.
I was actually surprised. I thought I would see that more. But he references it to it in different times. Doesn't actually say the squeeze or squeeze, but he talks about it. But this is the actual only quote where he actually says, the squeeze. When the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily, which is that third pull you've seen temporarily where was that he manifested, be manifested in the fullness of its power. When you continue reading down in paragraph 49, he says here, it's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, that means you can't be part of their group anymore because of what you believe and your stand. Then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. Watch the third pull then. See, and it'll be absolutely to the total loss, but it will be for the bride and the church. Amen. But what's going to cause that? It's going to be a pressure.
Right.
It's going to be a press.
Right.
Brother Brown talking about a press. You see? We're mad. When you have olives and when you have grapes, right? They might be some little juice or a little oil might be on the outside. That's just temporarily. That's just a little bit. That's why Brother Branham was saying temporarily the third pool was manifested in his life, you see, in his ministry. Amen. But it's going to take a squeeze. When you squeeze those grapes and when you squeeze those olives, that's when the fullness comes out. And I believe that's what we're seeing right now, saints. It's starting. That squeeze is starting upon us. And you'd never think that it was going to happen the way it's happening. It's a political thing, but it's supposed to, eventually it'll head down to more something more religious now. More spiritual. See? And if we can't stand firm on just the physical things, how are you going to stand firm when the spiritual, more spiritual aspect of it comes? Amen. You deny Christ, amen. When somebody at school asks you, you believe that? You go to that church? How are you going to stand when someone's asking you, what do you believe? You're not going to worship here anymore. We're going to close this church down, or unless you go ahead and sign this or do that or the other. What are you going to do then? If you can't say, I'm a Christian now. Do you see what I'm trying to say? If you can't handle the pressure now, how are you going to handle that pressure then? Amen. So, amen. Praise God. Now, let's look at something here real quick and then we're almost done. Amen. The right way and the wrong way to handle pressure. Amen. Praise God. Don't worry, Brother Wade. I'm not going to. This is the wrong way to handle pressure.
Amen.
You know what happens. I don't know if the brothers have a picture of it. If you got this soda can, and that's what happens.
Amen.
I wasn't going to do it here, so don't worry. We'll just show you a picture because all of you know exactly what would happen.
Amen.
But this is like some of us sometimes. You know, we've got so much pressure in our life. I mean, work and family and the pressures of everything that we have to do, bills and everything like that. And we got it so bottled up and there's no outlet. There's no way to let out that pressure. You see, in a can, there's no way to let it out. But Brother Tony says something wrong to me. And he's all wet and I'm all drenched and everybody, even the ones around you, amen, they're all drenched and it's a mess.
Amen.
We're all sticky. Why? Because you were manifesting the wrong, you were letting it out the wrong way. You weren't in that closet with God the way you needed to be. You weren't in the Word the way you needed to be. You weren't listening to the messages the way you needed to be. Amen? Praise God. This is how some of us sometimes come to church, all shaken up. Watching Netflix, YouTube videos, conspiracy theories. Brother, I need you to take out the trash. Nobody can say anything to you. Well, that's how it happens. Amen? But we want to be like this, and the brothers can put the next picture. We want to be more like a pressure cooker. You know? Because, I mean, there's pressure in our life, you see? We have pressures in our life.
Amen.
Every one of us have pressure.
Amen.
Amen. But there's a control mechanism.
True.
And that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Right.
And prayer.
Amen.
You see, normally the pressure cooker, amen, has a ring on the lid.
Yep.
Amen. It's a rubber ring.
Yep.
I was going to bring a pressure cooker here, but my wife's like, I don't think so.
Amen.
So I had to just show you the picture. This is the exact one my wife has. But I told her, I said, you know what, sweetheart? I think I'm going to take that pressure cooker. I'm just going to flop it on the pulpit just like that. She's like, I don't think so. But anyways, but a pressure cooker has that rubber ring under, and that's not to let, you know, so pressure doesn't escape. You know, I mean, it's to keep it all in. Because what cooks the food inside faster is the fact that there's a lot of heat and there's a lot of pressure. It's like the pressure is bringing, putting that heat further into that meat or that vegetable, whatever. I mean, I remember when my mom, she used to cook beans, and we always cook beans in pressure cookers. And I remember in Colombia, you know, she'd put us for a nap around noontime, and you'd hear that pressure cooker. I'd hear it in the kitchen. And I said, oh man, we're going to have some beans tonight. And I said, I hope my mom puts some collard greens in it too. I mean, I like beans with collard greens and some pork in it and things like that. Sister Trudy, you remember that now. But you see that little ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch is because there's a control valve. You know that there's a valve where there might be pressure. Amen. But there's a control mechanism where that pressure is coming out.
Right.
You see? And I believe this should be how a Christian should work. Amen. We got that ring under it. Amen. We're sealed. That's exactly right. Eternal life. It's a ring. Right? Sealed. Amen. But we have that avenue of prayer.
Right.
The Holy Ghost, amen, kind of controls. Don't let it out too much. Don't let it, you watch what you're going to say to brother such and such. Don't think that, amen, he said this to you. Amen. You just watch. Amen. Amen. Because if there's not that control mechanism there to let out that pressure, what happens? I don't know if some of you have had pressure cookers blow up before. I've never seen it before, but I've heard some bad things about it. Amen. So there's the control mechanism in our life that we should have. Amen. Don't be like that Fanta can now. It's the same. I mean, it's building the same pressures, you know? It's almost like it. This is cold. But, amen. But still, have a control mechanism.
Amen.
And God is the only one that can put that in you in your life.
Yep. Right.
The Holy Ghost.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost is the only one that can control that foul mouth of yours. That can control the temptations that you have in your life, amen, so that you don't heed them. That can control the thoughts, amen, that come through you. You can't do nothing about the thoughts, amen, but the Holy Ghost can help you control those thoughts, amen. You're walking, you're driving down the road, amen. You see a bad-dressed woman, you young man, amen. You don't need to look and sit there and stare. You know, you don't need to do that.
Right.
The Holy Ghost can control that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen. That's right.
The Holy Ghost can control that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You want to be a pressure cooker?
Amen.
That's the right way to handle pressure.
Amen. Right.
Amen. So real quick, seven quick ways to cope with pressure and hardships. I just kind of wrote this. Amen. Come back or focus again on the mission and your purpose that you have. When something happens in your life, hardship or a pressure, amen, just focus again. What am I here for?
Right. Amen.
Why am I doing this for? Amen. And it'll help you refocus back again and not concentrate so much on the pressure.
Right?
Right? Pray. Praise and worship God. I mean,
amen.
The world is just coming up on you, amen, just start singing.
Uh-huh.
Singing, don't sing under pressure by Queen.
No.
Sing gospel music. Sing good music. Amen. Sing something that will, don't look at me that way. Sing something that will benefit you, amen, and that will help you have a right attitude,
that's
amen.
Right, that's
others,
right, that's right.
That others can see as well and benefit from.
Amen.
Draw strength from God's word, amen. Sometimes we want to go to Dr. Dobson's book, amen, or something like that. That's fine, but amen. God's word is the
amen.
One that gives us strength.
Right.
I have never read the word of God and think, and not read something new that can help me, amen.
Yeah.
There's always something new in the Word to help me, especially at the moment that I need it, amen? When that pressure of life's coming on you, amen? Look for support from helpful family members and friends. Helpful is the key. Do not go to your best friend who's always critical. Amen. And who thinks that life is just a mess and it's not worth, amen, and who's always depressed.
Yep.
Don't go to that person. Nope. Go to the one who's always joyful.
Amen.
Who's always, amen.
Right.
Do you see what the Word of God says here?
You,
who goes to church.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And who you know that has a good reputation amongst the people. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to find a place where we can just get to ourselves, get alone.
That's right.
I mean, sometimes being amongst people a lot, that builds a lot of pressure.
Right.
And we need to get aside. Sometimes husbands and wives need to do that.
Right. Amen.
You know?
Right.
I can't, my wife and me, we can't always be together, you know?
Right.
I mean, we'll get on each other's nerves. I gotta get away. I gotta go do my own thing for a little while. She's gotta go do her own thing for a little while. And that helps release out the wiggles and the pressures. And we come back together and we hug and we kiss and we talk. And we might eat sushi together. Laugh. Amen. Laugh. Look what the proverb says. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Job says, 8:21 says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. So if there was anything wrong with laughing or shouting, then Job wouldn't have said that. The Word of God wouldn't have said that. Laughter is like a vacation. Amen. Instant vacation.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you want a vacation right away? There it is.
Yep.
Just laugh.
Amen.
Have a good time. Some of us, we need to have a sense of humor.
Loosen
up.
Amen.
Amen. But if you like being that way, then that's up to you.
Amen.
But express thanks to God for what you already have.
Right, amen.
Oh my, that right there, amen.
Amen.
Yes. That'll get you, amen. Oh, I got this going on. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I could be out in the streets begging right now.
Right, amen.
Oh, Lord, I got this pressure, this homework. I got this test and this project that's due all on the same day. But Lord, I could be out there prostituting at 15 years old. And so many girls are doing that right now.
Absolutely.
And they don't even know who their parents are. All they're doing is they're serving somebody else.
Yep.
You see? Always look at the what God has placed you right now.
Amen.
Express thanks to God. Amen. And express it publicly.
Amen.
Amen. That's why when you raise your hands and when you lift your hands to God in a church, when you're singing and those types of things, that lets people know, hey, he or she is expressing thankfulness to God.
Right.
Hey, they've surrendered.
Amen.
Amen. Right. That shows a lot. And you know what? It encourages somebody else to do it as well.
Amen.
Especially when you young people do it.
Right.
When I see young people doing
Amen.
It. Kaylee, when I see you doing it, when I see Bella, I've seen all these other young ones that do it, amen, and I see that they're doing it with all their heart,
right.
Oh my, it makes me feel condemned. Because
yeah.
I ain't doing it.
Right.
Man, I got the young people beating me,
mm-hmm.
out worshiping me.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
And we should feel that way.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Should make us ashamed, because we need to be thankful for what we have, amen.
Right.
Praise God. Jesus at Gethsemane, amen. He suffered, that was one of the worst pressures ever.
Yep, that's right.
That right there was the worst pressure ever.
Absolutely.
And you can read that in Luke chapter 22. We don't have time. Amen. But the Bible says there in verse 39, it says, and he came out and went as he want to the Mount of Olives.
Yep.
Olives.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
And that's where all, everything that he could give was given right there. He died before he actually died on the cross. He died right there.
Amen.
Amen. But watch verse 43 in that chapter, and it says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. He's there praying and saying, Lord, if it be your will, pass this cup from me. I don't want to die. I don't want to go through this suffering. People are going to spit on me. People are going to yank beard from my face. I'm sure he's already seen all these things. People are going to look what they're going to do. Lord, I don't want to do this, but Lord, not my will. But thine will be done. Man, it's not about me. Him being God, he's saying it's not about me. It's about those that I'm dying for. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. It's about me. That's why he did it.
Amen.
And being in agony, watch, when he was in agony, three times he went back to pray. and seeing his disciples sleeping, you know, and he just went back to pray. Amen. And then being in agony, the Bible says there, he prayed more earnestly.
Right.
So even when more pressure was coming on him, what did he do? The Bible says he prayed more earnestly.
Right, amen.
All right, it's not time to slack.
Amen.
Oh, God ain't answering my prayer. Well, I'm going to go and watch Netflix. No, you pray even harder.
Amen.
Because if God, the God of heaven, had to do that, how much more you and I?
Amen.
Especially in the hour that we're living in, where we're facing uncertain things.
Right.
I'm telling you, our lives are not going to be the same hunky-dory way that it's been in the last few years.
Right, right.
We're about to face some tough times, saints.
Amen.
And it's time for us to now pray more earnestly.
Amen.
I've been trying to dedicate myself more to more prayer. More personal prayer. I love what Brother Trevor was saying the other day when he came and spoke for us. That thing about, you know, now lay me down to sleep and 5 minute prayers, that's not gonna help you when that time comes.
Amen.
And it's coming, saints. That is not gonna help you. It's time, you feel that agony, amen, it's time to get an agonizing prayer.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I can't do it on my own, but Lord, I'm willing to go through this because even this pressure is being cooked, put on me, amen. But I know something good is going to come out on the other side. Amen. Praise God. And Brother Branham says, it's been proven through the ages that persecution strengthens the church.
Amen.
It's been proven through the ages that persecution strengthens the church. Are you ready for persecution? If you can't handle some little persecution now, how are you going to handle it here in a few years? It could be a few months. I don't know. Next week, maybe.
Amen.
And there's a quote, somebody said, pressure can burst a pipe or pressure can make a diamond.
Yep. Right.
You decide how you want the pressure to be.
Amen.
Amen. You want it to be like this or you want it to be a pressure cooker?
Amen.
With some control.
Yeah.
It's okay to have pressure.
Sure.
Don't feel bad that there's pressure in your life. It's okay.
Amen.
That's part of it because you need pressure. That's how you handle it. Come back to God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's have the musicians come. Let's sing that song, I Have a Source. Maybe Sister Esther, can you come? I have a source of strength when I am weak that helps me through when life is pressing me. What number is that? Number 354. Thank you, Sister Esther. What key have we sung that in? F. Key of F.
I have a source of strength when I am weak that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. Where there's a healing claim that still flows with peace that only His redeemed can know.
Are you redeemed tonight?
I claim the blood Jesus shed.
If you have a need tonight, we're more than welcome to pray for you.
For me,
for all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. Where there's a healing, cleansing steam is still flow. With peace that only His redeemed can know. I claim the blood
Jesus
shed on Calvary. Those precious bloodstains were made just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. When I need healing,
I just claim those precious bloodstains.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that source. Thank God for a way of escape in this house. God for a way of escape in this hour. Thank God for that source. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You love Him? You believe that He can help you through no matter what pressure you're going through, no matter what pressure you will face. Just believe that God made a way for you. Amen. He made a way for many countless others. He'd make a way for us. Amen. All hearts, mind clear. Amen. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for instructing us, Lord Jesus, and Lord, giving us a way, Father God, a mechanism, Lord God, to be able to cope with pressure, Lord. Father God, temptations and struggles, Lord Jesus, in this life. Father, we pray, Lord, that You won't take us away from these things, but Father, we ask that You'd help us, Lord Jesus, to be able to deal with them, Father, in the way that You would handle them, Lord God. Give us of Your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that we may be able to act and think and say, Father God, exactly the way You would under these times of pressures. Lord, I pray for those that may be struggling with depression and pressures and temptations. I ask that You'd be with them, Lord, and help them, Father. Raise them, Lord Jesus, Father God, out of this, that they may be able to see, Father God, the glory on the other side, Lord Jesus. We commit my brothers and sisters into Your hands now as they depart. Bring us back to church, Lord, Sunday. Continue to bless Brother Dale, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord. And we just thank You, Father, for what You've been doing in him so far. We ask You these things now, and we commit these things into Your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be dismissed.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary.